Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Context Machine. This is episode 657. I'm Brian Chaffin.
A palindrome. And I'm Jeff Gamet. Hey, check us out on our website, contextmachine.io.
You stole my joke, sir. You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us or find us on Mastodon at Context Machine.
Yeah. And good news, today's episode is sponsored by LinkedIn Jobs. Hey,
yes, we're going to tell you about them later in the show. We appreciate them. Mm-hmm. But did you know that we also have a Facebook group?
Wait, what?
Yeah, we do.
No. Wait, Brian, tell me about this Facebook group. Is this new?
No, we've had it for a long time, and but we haven't promoted it in a long time. Kind of seems right for us.
On brand.
On brand. Yeah, very much on brand. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyhow, Facebook group.
Facebook group. Yeah. I don't know. What are we going to do?
We're going to carry on like we always do.
Oh, right.
Tell people about the places they can find us, and then occasionally we'll be like, oh crap, there's a place where people can find us.
Yes. That okay, I got it. This checks out. Yep. So we're going to talk about I have a brand new short story that I'm releasing.
Yes, and I wanted to talk to you about it because I'm very interested in this.
Thank you. Your check's in the mail.
Thank you. The bigger the check, the more I will feign interest.
Excellent. Well, I tell you what, you can have 100% of the ebook proceeds because it's going to be a free book.
You know, I want you to double it and then I'm in.
Okay. I'll triple it.
Done. Your generosity knows no bounds.
Excellent. This is a free short story that I'm releasing. It's called King Liam, First of His Name.
Okay. So short story. Why did you decide to do a short story now?
Well, I actually wrote the short story to be the prologue to a novel, but I long ago decided that novel didn't make any sense. So this short story has been hanging around for a while. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have a free entry to my works. When authors have many books, they often will make the first one for free. I only have the one book, so I couldn't really do that. But I wanted to have a free offering so that people can, you know, like try me on for size. For free.
Sure.
And so I was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to use King Liam for that because this story is set in Mason Truman's universe, the universe of accidental intelligence. Mm-hmm. And it is, it doesn't involve Mason, doesn't involve anyone that we've met because it's part of the broader near future of the solar system, basically.
Mm-hmm. And so tell me, no spoilers, of course, but tell me a little bit about the story.
Well, King Liam is a miner. He's a belter miner. And he sheens around in a single ship. He goes to asteroids and he mines
single
them.
Ship.
Yeah, a single ship is basically a one-person ship.
Oh, okay.
And I stole the concept from Larry Niven. I don't know where he stole it from or if he invented it. It could be either.
I'm glad you finished the sentence the way you did because when you said, I don't know, I was afraid you were going to say something like, if you've ever heard of him, something like that. But yeah, this is better. Anyhow, continue.
Thank you. A single ship is a one-person ship, so it's just Liam tooling around on his own, and he's gotten a little crazier from the solitude. And mm-hmm. He has decided that he's going to set off for the Oort cloud. And in my world, you know, in this case, the broader universe, that's a really long journey. Now, those who have read Accidental Intelligence, you may remember that that book started off with the prologue also set in the Oort cloud. But that was a Legion ship, and the Legion is the military arm of the One World Terran Republic, and Legion ships have a faster-than-light drive called the Alcubierre KT drive,
mm-hmm.
and those are strictly in the hands of the military. So miners don't have that. Private ships do not have the Alcubierre KT drive. In fact, there have been 30 or 40 drives made, and they're all in military ships. So he has decided he's going to set off for the Oort cloud, because that way he can mine outside of the very bureaucratic restrictions that are imposed on belters by the Republic. And he's basically setting out to strike it rich. And, you know, all his minor friends thought he was crazy, and he spends a lot of his time, because it ends up being a 4-year journey to get out to the Oort cloud, and he spends a lot of his time sort of imagining what you know, like all the adulation they're going to shower on him when he comes back.
Right. Yeah, when he comes back with his big prize, and it's amazing. Look at everything Liam did.
Yes. Yes, and he starts calling himself King Liam, and first of his name. And so anyway, it's a short story, and it's really, it's about what Liam finds when he gets to the midpoint of his journey, when he gets to where he's going. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and it's, I think Liam is a very fun character. I don't know that we can call the story fun.
I enjoyed it.
It's a fun journey. The character of
Liam. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I liked the ending, and I won't say anything about it because no spoilers.
Thanks.
And I do wonder, and you're the person that can definitively answer this, is this the beginning of something else? Or, and I know you said this was the prologue to a book that ultimately you decided isn't going to happen, but is this the beginning of something else?
Yes, it is. Liam's niece is out there too. And, I think she and Andrew Andrew Bowers, who's Mason's cousin, I think Liam's niece and Andrew are going to get up to some kind of adventure relating to Liam's trip. And okay. that'll be the start of a multi-book series dealing with other aspects of the ongoing issue between the Republic and AIs.
Okay, so you're going to end up with two book series in this universe, the Mason Truman stuff, and then the other stuff, which I'll call the Andrew stuff for now.
Yeah, there's the Andrew stuff that will be taking place in the solar system, but then at some point there's the broader picture about what happens even further away. In Accidental Intelligence, there is, we get hints about what the AI scout ships have been up to, and we're going to have to deal with that eventually too. And I don't know if that'll be an Andrew story. I don't think it'll be a Mason story. My model here for my universe is definitely Larry Niven's Known Space universe, where he has a myriad of characters telling thousands of years of stories set on Earth, off Earth, you know, involving other races and everything's connected, but you don't, you know, everything is also separate. They're separate stories that have overlapping characters and events. And that's okay. That's my model for my world. I'm not anywhere near as prolific a writer as Larry Niven. So I don't know how many.
Well, right now you're much more prolific than he is.
Oh, too soon, sir.
Too soon.
Oh, Larry. Has Larry Niven passed away?
I thought he did. Well, hold on. Top Men doing our check. Is Larry Niven still alive?
Okay, be careful, because you might get an AI answer that may not have anything to do with anything.
Let's see. Oh, well, as of January 4th, 2022, he was still alive and he'd had two surgeries. Hold on, what's Wikipedia say?
Yeah, he's 86 years old, man. He's still alive.
Oh, well, is he writing right now?
I knowing him, probably. He has written a lot.
Oh, well, then you're going to have to step up your game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I am very much going to have to step up my game. He's been writing since the 60s that I know of. He was born in 30. Good Lord, he's born in 38. Ringworld came out in 70. I thought that was a mid-70s book. And he wrote a lot. He's wrote a lot of great books with Jerry Purnell. Yeah, Larry Niven is awesome.
Yeah, he's written some pretty cool stuff. Yep. All right. So, I asked you about whether or not this is part of something else. Do you have a what's next plan? Like, what are you planning on, or what are you working on?
Well, so I have some Mation short stories that are in the works, and I have book two of the Accidental Intelligence story, Tales from the Quantum Vault is the name of that series. I've got book two that I'm working on. I will probably end up putting out another short story. I would like to do a collection of short stories. Mm-hmm. So if I thought that I could... If I thought that I could do that before I released book two, I probably would. But my main focus is definitely book two, which is called Inside the Mirror.
Okay, cool. And I know better than to ask a fiction author when they think this is coming out, because that's not how this works.
No, I would love for it to be later this year.
I would love for that too.
Yeah, because it's a matter of me being able to finish it.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready to read it whenever you're ready to throw words my way.
Oh yeah. I will be doing that, because you are, as ever, my biggest cheerleader. Thanks.
And I will continue to cheer you on.
Oh, I added my book to Kobo. I added Accidental Intelligence to Kobo, and I've put, as we speak, King Liam is available for pre-order. It's a free book. So pre-ordering means simply that you're telling the, you know, Amazon, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, Nook, or Kobo that you want it when it's available. It will be released on June 4th. And it is up there now. I think my Kobo listing isn't working as of this writing, and my Apple Books listing isn't working.
As of this writing.
As of this speaking.
Sorry. As of this talking.
As of this talking. I talk good. But it is available on Amazon, and it'll, I don't know. I've asked Apple and Kobo for assistance, and I'm sure it'll be in the next couple of days. So if this show is like any of our previous shows, the King Liam will probably be available everywhere before you hear the show.
Okay. And you're going to make sure we have the link so they can be in the show notes, right?
Yes. Yes. And I would love it. I would love it, by the way. This is a shameless, shameless hucksterism shill.
Huck away.
If you would order it everywhere, I would love that, because I would like it if this book got enough attention that it caused the various algorithms to give Accidental Intelligence some love.
All right.
Because generally speaking, Accidental Intelligence only sells to people who go looking for it.
Okay. So let's game the system, people.
Yes. Let's game the system.
Hey, I will ask this as a great setup thing. Well, Brian, I really enjoyed reading the print version of your book, but sometimes I like audiobooks. Is that an option for King Liam?
Yes, I have done an audiobook for King Liam. It has been submitted to ACX, which is Amazon's separate company that handles Audible submissions, because Amazon mm-hmm. owns Audible. And they also do iTunes and someone else too. But it's been submitted. I would imagine by Monday or Tuesday it'll probably be available. It has to be 99 cents. They will not let me give it away.
That's so weird, but okay.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying and frustrating. But so it is 99 cents if you prefer audiobooks. You'll have it. And I also got enough confidence from completing this admittedly short story. It's a very short story. It's 4,600 words. But completing the audiobook for it has given me the confidence to do the audiobook for Accidental Intelligence.
Oh, great. Great. Well, you know how your characters sound, so you seem to be in a good position to be able to do that.
Yeah, I guess. You know, my concern has been the aftermath of my stroke, and my voice is not as strong as it was, and it's not as strong as I want it to be. And that's just a reality. But again, doing I use a voice for King Liam, because King Liam is he's a character, and I will be using only my voice for Accidental Intelligence with some character accents for the characters, as opposed to the narration for what that's mm-hmm. worth. Anyway, I'm getting into the weeds, but I'll be doing an audiobook for Accidental Intelligence.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, do you mind if I throw some shameless self-promotion in?
Yeah.
As long as we're here. So, you do mind, or yes, go ahead.
I'm going to do it. Good question. Go ahead. As if I was deciding.
Right. All right. So we're really great sometimes at our self-promotion. I've been putting a link in our show notes for the past few weeks that to let everyone know that I'm speaking at MaxStock 8 this year. And that's in July.
Yeah.
And I keep forgetting to tell people about it on the show. So now I'm actually doing it. Hey, everyone, I'm speaking at MaxStock again this year, and I believe it's July 12th, 13th, 14th. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So there's actually 3 days of content
this year
instead of two. I think it's the 12th, 13th, 14th. It might be 11th, 12th, 13th.
12th, 13th, and 14th.
Okay. And
13 hours, 22 minutes, and 24 seconds from now.
Oh, no pressure to finish my presentation. I'm actually already working on it. I'll be talking about smart home technology and getting your smart home set up. And a big part of this will also be how to avoid all the mistakes that I have made.
That seems very cool.
It's I I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And but wait, it gets better, because if you feel like you just need more Jeff in your life and you're going to max stock, Chuck Joyner and I are teaming up, and we're going to be doing a presentation as well. And I know, I know. Poor Chuck. What? Why? 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 All right. In his defense, actually, I don't think this actually helps his case. He was like, "Hey, Jeff, do you want to do this together?" And I'm like, "Sure." So the headaches and stress for that one, that's all on him. But that presentation hasn't been announced yet. So there you go. Now you have a teaser. We're doing something, but you don't know what it is yet.
Do you know what it is?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. So
other I'm just speakers, totally saying that. So it sounds like we know what we're doing.
Others, I do know. You do know.
Yeah.
You, okay. All right. Other speakers include this year, Chuck Joyner, Dave Hamilton, Wally Cherwinski, who's the guy who did the videos for all the Macworld All-Star, the Mac videos.
Right. And he's also doing what he's done the past couple of years, where he holds a short film festival as part of the conference. So it's really cool. And the videos that people are submitting every year, it's just fantastic. So,
and he also did the two remote recording videos that the All-Star Band made during the pandemic.
Yeah, and those were pretty cool.
Yeah, they I thank you. I thought so too. I was actually kind of a fan. Brett Terpstra is going to be speaking, Allison Sheridan, Dave Ginsberg, and several more people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. And why don't you actually share a little bit about what Angela's doing?
Oh,
her art.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people know that Angela Bowman and I know each other. She has started a whole art thing. She got really into art, and she has a website, Everyday Borbs, where she is making and selling original artworks.
Wait, Borbs or Burbs?
Borbs.
I thought it was Burbs.
You have a bird, which is a regular bird. Then you have a burb, which is, you know, the kind of cute burb, bird. And then you have a borb.
Oh,
which
it is a Borbs. Cute, huh. Who knew?
A cute, fluffy, chubby bird. Yeah. Well, I mean, we did. Apparently you didn't. But yeah, it's really great collage art that starts as total unique custom jelly print, where she's actually laying out ink and transferring it to paper, and then she tears up all the papers and makes the backgrounds and the bird, and it's just really awesome stuff. And it's Everyday Borbs, or the website is everydaybirds.com or everydayborbs.com.
It's everydayborbs.com.
Everydayborbs.com.
Where I've got something loaded in my cart. I'm going to ask you if there's a coupon code that you could share with me later.
Okay, I don't think there is, but okay. I'll find out. Yeah, so she has original works, and you can get prints of the works as well.
Yeah, I love this stuff. It's great art.
It is. It's just so much fun.
And she has both the original art available and prints and buttons, right?
Yep, you can get buttons as well, and you can get prints in different sizes.
Yep, it's cool. Do you know what else is cool?
What, Brian? What else is cool?
LinkedIn Jobs. They're sponsoring us this week.
That really is cool. Awesome.
Okay, so when you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. Free is good. But mm-hmm. LinkedIn isn't just the job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. That's LinkedIn users. They're not saying that members. They're saying that 70% of LinkedIn users, the people who are actually using the site, are not using other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. I find that to be a rather stunning statistic. So you can hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. But LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and they may not have the time or resources to hire. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions even, making the process even easier and quicker. 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. And of course, the thing that I always want to make sure to mention is the dashboard, because LinkedIn's mm-hmm. dashboard puts everything at your fingertips. It puts your jobs, it puts your job descriptions, your prospective questions, the candidates that you have. It puts everything at your fingertips, and that definitely makes it easier to find the right people. So you can post your job for free at linkedin.com/ACM. That's linkedin.com/ACM to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow. Hey, thank you, LinkedIn Jobs.
Thank you very much. We appreciate their ongoing sponsorship of our show very, very much.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so Apple did the Hot 100, what are they calling it? Best, the music, Apple Music 100 Best Albums.
Right. And it's an interesting list. Well, I find it interesting, especially because this isn't a list just of most popular, like best selling, most downloads. This is
artists, a curated list, not a curated list. It's not a quantified or any kind of a metric based list.
Right. So Apple put together a group of artists and music industry experts and said, tell us what are the best albums. And they came up with the top 100. And yeah, so it's a thing. You can listen to it in Apple Music. And
I wonder how long it would take. That would probably take 70 or 80 hours to listen to all of them.
Yeah, probably.
So I wanted to start with the fact that this is incredibly subjective.
Of course.
There is no way to do a curated list that's going to meet with everybody's approval.
Right. Yes. And if you were to change out one person in the group that was put together to make this list, that would result in a different list.
Yeah. This has the Apple Music imprimatur, I think was the right word. But it is really, it's this, how many people was it? It was like three? Three people? I think it was three people, right?
No, we actually don't know how many people, but we do know how many people offered commentary on it, and that was four.
Yeah, I suspect that it's their list. Surely.
No, Shirley wasn't part of it. So Nile Rodgers, Maggie Rodgers, Zane Lowe, and Ebro Darden, they offer the commentary on the list.
Yeah, I see that.
So, I mean, it could be that they did the list, but if that were the case, why wouldn't they just say that these are the same people that curated the list?
Well, that could be that Apple wanted to make it seem like it was somehow bigger. That is a possible explanation.
Well, I mean, with those four people, I mean, they have clout in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that would be enough.
Fair enough. Anyway, regardless, this is specifically a list that is and I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's not my list.
Well, did you at least find stuff on the list that you felt should be there?
Absolutely. I'm sure I would nitpick the order that every inclusion had on it. There were some Zeppelin. So Led Zeppelin 2 is the only Zeppelin album, which kudos to them for only picking one Zeppelin album, but I don't think I would have picked two. I find it interesting that they picked two, but I don't think I'd pick two. I'd probably pick Led Zeppelin 4 or Physical Graffiti. But that, see, again, it's super personal. And yeah. Led Zeppelin is not my favorite band. So, you know, I'm just picking that as an example. So Lauryn Hill's The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill was the number one album. I don't think that would have made my number one album. I know it wouldn't have made my number one album. It's a great list, and it's an interesting list. And I think that any list that gets us talking about albums is probably a good thing.
I agree. And I have realized after going through this list and the press release, which highlights the top 10 from the list, this is probably one of the best music discovery efforts Apple has made. Because like basically every service out there, online service, discovery sucks. And if you're looking for music that you may not have listened to or might have forgotten about, this is actually a really good list to start with. And the only way I think they could have made this happen was to sit down, make the list, and then say, hey, go check out these 100 albums.
Right. By the way, Bauhaus is not on this list.
No, Bauhaus is not. But Miles Davis and John Coltrane are.
And the Velvet Underground and Nico are.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and Aretha Franklin is.
Yep. And Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, that seems appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars from Bowie.
Yep. London Calling, The Clash.
Daft Punk's, which one is this? This is a Daft Punk, Discovery is the name of this album. I don't know enough about Daft Punk to know if this album is terrific, but I'm sure that it is because it's Daft Punk. Bruce Springsteen. So, you know, it is definitely a mixture of classic rock, white rock, with soul and other...
And jazz.
And jazz and rap and...
But I didn't see any metal in here.
Yeah, there was a, I thought there was a Metallica album. Yeah, Master of Puppets.
Oh, okay. I just missed seeing it.
Yeah, but that's the only album. And that seems a little bit suspect, now that you mention it.
Yeah, well, without knowing exactly who was part of the group.
Oh, Appetite for Destruction. I mean, I feel like that's a pop album, not a metal album, but at the time it was certainly considered metal.
Mm-hmm.
Prince has a couple of different offerings. The Beatles, I think the Beatles only got Revolver and Abbey Road. Yep, Revolver and Abbey Road. Those mm-hmm. are two excellent albums, so yay.
Mm-hmm.
And Prince got Purple Rain and Sign of the Times.
Both really good albums.
Yeah, you two got the Joshua Tree, not the free album.
I still find it incredibly funny that people got so bent out of shape about Apple giving them a free album.
Yeah, I find that weird too. Drake got mentioned Beastie Boys, only got one, Paul's Boutique. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, it'd either be Paul's Boutique or the album that had Sabotage on it would be my choice.
Yep.
I would probably have both of those albums on this list, but hey, that's just me. Eminem is on the list.
Oh, Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life. How did I miss seeing that before? I mean, it's number six on the list.
Yeah, I don't know. And he also got Inner Visions.
Oh, good.
Remain in Light from the Talking Heads. Is it close? So, I mean,
that's a good album.
Yeah, there are great. I would actually say that there are no albums on this list that are not great. I don't know. It's certainly I would not have picked these 100 albums as my top 100 albums, but they are all great albums.
Yeah. If you're interested in getting a commentary about each one of these, the webpage that Apple put together for this, it's there. So you just click on like the album name and you'll get a commentary for, you know, why it's on the list.
The Downward Spiral from Nine Inch Nails is on the list. That's the only Nine Inch Nails entry. I think I would probably have included Pretty Hate Machine mm-hmm. in my top 100. So anyway, it is an interesting list. And again, I want to stress this part. I think that Apple doing anything that gets us talking about albums in particular is cool. I think yeah. that's a good thing. I think it's a good I mean, like, I feel like we as a society don't talk about music enough anymore.
Yeah. I heard an article on NPR a few months ago where they were talking about various artists, and I think it was around the time when Taylor Swift re-recording all of her albums was the big news. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how we don't have the really big music hits like we used to because we don't have a collective consciousness for that anymore because everyone can stream. It's not like we're all listening to the same radio stations and then hearing the same songs and we're talking about what we're hearing. It's everyone listening to what they want.
First of all, that's entirely true. I don't think that's a bad thing because the idea that we were all listening to the same things, that's not really good for music. I mean, like, because the reality is that today there is more diversification in music. And I not only mean that from a racial or cultural standpoint, but from a style. I mean, like, this is a golden age of music, even if no one's making any money at it.
Yeah, I agree. And so part of what gave us that collective, everyone's loving the same song thing, was also part of the Discovery thing. And this was before the whole thing with all the local radio stations being bought up by the big players. Now it's basically just iHeartRadio playing the same thing across the entire United States everywhere. And it was the fact that you had local DJs that were picking music and playing it. And so we would get these interesting discoveries that we really can't get today.
But that hasn't really been the case for 30 years or more. Because
that's true.
Is the corporate consolidation started happening in the 90s, thanks to a bill that the Clintons championed. That corporate consolidation resulted in regional and then eventually corporate people picking the playlist for all their stations. And, yes. And that was happening very much in the 90s, probably starting in the 80s, but.
Yeah, but my point is that we did have a time when there was a very interesting discoverability thing, and that's been lost.
That's true. That's true. Even while our choices and options have increased, so there's a bit of an irony there. But on top of that, did you catch the story? Is it this week or last week about Spotify and their algorithm?
No.
I'm going to see if I can find it. It'd be great if I giving... darn it. I'm not seeing it in my history. Duh, that stinks. So here's the deal. Spotify... So the point of the story was that Pavement, who is Jason, name? Band, Jason Malkmuth,
I'm just going to sit here and listen to you make up sounds.
Thanks. I appreciate it. You're great. Why can't I find that? That's interesting. They're band page does not promote the individuals, which is kind of cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, members. Here we go. Jason Malkmus. He was the main songwriter, and he's released a couple of solo albums. I love his songwriting. I love his playing, and I love his music. So what has happened with and Pavement was a thing in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened is that their number one stream song on Spotify, it's a good song, but it was never a hit. It was never even close to a hit. But it has become by far, like it's had like, I don't know, 26, I could be wrong about these numbers. It's like 26 million streams or maybe a billion streams or something. And it was like orders of magnitude above their next biggest song, which was their actual hit. So anyway, it turns out there's a reason for this. It's because Spotify's algorithm has been recommending it because it sounds the most like these other songs.
Interesting.
And the journalist who figured it out from another artist too, who also had, you know, enormous success with the song, and it was getting recommended in the same way. And if that's not a dumbing down of just a cheapening and dumbing down of music, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spotify seems like a really crap company. That's what I'm saying. but it's cool because they lose money on every stream, but they're going to make it up in volume. So that's great. In the meanwhile, yeah, they sit there and whine about Apple. I don't like Spotify.
Yeah. I wonder
if Spotify will carry my audiobook.
Sure.
I'm kidding. I don't want them to because they, I don't even want them to. I don't, yeah.
Oh, come on, Brian. Let them carry your book. They'd be happy to take your money from you.
Well, there is no money on this, but I don't want to feed the Spotify machine. I don't like Spotify.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, our second sponsor this week is Spotify. Just kidding. I don't think they would sponsor us. I wouldn't accept them as a sponsor, actually. I don't know how you feel about that, but
No, I'd have a hard time with that. And what I will say though is Apple should really be copying more Spotify's features for Apple Music. Because even though Spotify is super annoying, they have better playlist features overall than Apple does.
Which is interesting. Playlists are the things that I thought that Apple Music was going to really sort of take command of the streaming market. I mean, they're curated playlists where people were putting together their playlist, I thought was going to be the thing. And it doesn't really seem like it's become the thing.
No, it hasn't. I think part of that is because, Apple said these curated playlists that people are curating, they change every couple weeks. No, they don't. There are playlists.
Whiplash.
Yeah. Yeah. There are Apple curated playlists that I've listened to where I'll hear it. And then like 2 or 3 months later, I'll be like, oh, I want to go check out that playlist. And it's the exact same songs, still same order, everything. And every now and then they change, but not at the frequency that Apple was promising.
Right. I agree with that from what little exposure I have to their playlist. I mean, now that you're mentioning it, I have noticed that.
Yeah. And it makes listening to Apple playlists far too repetitious.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Hey, as long as I'm bagging on Apple Music features, how about that top 100 best albums thing? You know, if you go in and find it in the music app, like on your Mac, when you click on it, it takes you to the website instead. And so you can play everything through the website. But once you're there, logged in in your web browser, you can push it back to the music app.
Okay, but that seems like a fail.
Yeah.
So, well, if I click an album, which I've done, it plays. And if I click an album in the app, in the music app on my Mac, it plays.
Oh, well, then in that case, maybe they've made some updates. Because when I first started checking it out, it would just take you to the website instead of.
Well, so that was clicking on an album on the play button. So I might not have been clicking in the same place that you were. So there is, by the way, a video, a 46-minute video that Apple did called the Final Reveal, our top 10 albums. And that's with the four people that we mentioned, basically explaining why they picked each of those albums, to be in that list.
Okay.
So I wonder if we can include. Yep, we got a link. I will send you the link so that you can include it in our show notes.
Awesome.
Oops, I will put it in quotes so that you can see the link. Okay, great. Yay us, right?
Go us. Look at that. We are on top of it.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of links in this week's show. So Okay, I think the first thing we can do is this. And that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write to us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. I win. I did it. I got through our name and our email address without messing up.
But I heard the pause. I heard it.
Oh, good Lord. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly, the basis by Dr. Boom, recorded for this show. And that's all for this week.
And hey, thank you, LinkedIn Jobs.
Yes, thank you for LinkedIn Jobs. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/ACM. Terms and conditions apply. And we appreciate them. And we hope everybody has a great day.